we're going to have our Bible reading today, you're going to need to turn to the Old Testament book of Ezra. I'll give you a moment to find that if you've got your Bible with you. The words will be above my head. We are starting a new series today on the book of Ezra. And I'm going to read a portion from Ezra chapter 8 and verse 15. I'll start from. If we're not familiar with the book of Ezra, we're jumping into the middle of the story, and it might seem a little bit odd, and there's lots of tough names, so please bear with me, okay, as I read this. Ezra chapter 8, verse 15. Ezra speaking, and he says, "I assembled them at the canal that flows towards Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. When I checked among the people and the priests, I found no Levites there. So I summoned Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshullam, who were leaders, and Joarib and Elnathan, who were men of learning. And I learned there, and I ordered them to go to Iddo, the leader in Cassiphia. I told them what to say to Iddo and his fellow Levites, the temple servants in Cassiphia, so that they might bring attendance to us for the house of our God. Because the gracious hand of our God was on us, they brought us Sherebiah, a capable man from the descendants of Mali, son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah's sons and brothers. In all, and Hashabiah together with Jeshahiah from the descendants of Merari and his brothers and nephews in all. They also brought, 20 in all. They also brought 220 of the temple servants, a body that David and the officials had established to assist the Levites. All were registered by name. There, by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. Then I set apart 12 of the leading priests, namely Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brothers. And I weighed out to them the offering of silver and gold and the articles that the king, his advisors, his officials, and all Israel present there had donated for the house of our God. I weighed out to them 650 talents of silver, silver articles weighing 100 talents, 100 talents of gold, 20 bowls of gold valued at 1,000 darics, and 2 fine articles of polished bronze as precious as gold. I said to them, you as well as these articles are consecrated to the Lord. The silver and gold are a freewill offering to the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Guard them carefully until you weigh them out in the chambers of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem before the leading priests and the Levites and the family heads of Israel. Then the priests and the Levites received the silver and gold and sacred articles that had been weighed out to be taken to the house of our God in Jerusalem. On the 12th day of the first month, we set out from the Ahava Canal to go to Jerusalem. The hand of our God was on us, and he protected us from enemies and bandits along the way. So we arrived in Jerusalem, where we rested 3 days. On the 4th day, in the house of our God, we weighed out the silver and gold and the sacred articles into the hands of Meremoth, son of Uriah, the priest. Eleazar, son of Phinehas, was with him, and so were the Levites, Jozabad, son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, son of Binui. Everything was accounted for by number and weight, and the entire weight was recorded at that time. Then the exiles who had returned from captivity sacrificed burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 male lambs, and, as a sin offering, 12 male goats. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. They also delivered the king's orders to the royal satraps and to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, who then gave assistance to the people and to the house of God. Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. Thanks be to God. Now this morning, as I said, we're starting a new book of the Bible. And the book of the Bible is called Ezra. And Ezra was a man who lived a long, long time ago. Here's an artist's likeness of Ezra. Okay, we don't really know what he looked like, but he lived a long, long time ago. There's Ezra. He'll be coming down in a moment. There is a verse in Ezra chapter 8 that helps us to understand the book of Ezra. I'll read it out. I'll put it up on the screen and I'll read it out. It says this: "The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him." We're going to try and say that together. If you can't read that, that's fine. Just listen along. But everyone, we're going to say that on three, okay? One, two, three. "The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him." Great. I'm going to leave that up on the screen. Now, if you're young, there might be some strange words there that you don't quite understand. What I hope this morning will do, will help you to understand what these words mean, that the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is on all against all who forsake him. Let's start, first of all, with this idea, the gracious hand of our God. Now, I've made a little prop to help us, okay? Okay, now, there's so much in this story about the gracious hand of... Okay, before I begin, no one... This is not God's hand I've got here, okay? This is just a picture to help us think about the gracious hand of our God. Because there's lots in the book of Ezra where we see the gracious hand of our God. Now, what is exactly... Are you going to stay there? Yes, excellent. The gracious hand of our God. If you boil it down, really, it's God's kindness, his love, God's mercy. So if you go away this morning and say, well, what was Dougie talking about, the gracious hand of our God? Why do you have a big silly hand on a snooker cue? What was that? You say, well, it's all about God's kindness. What is the gracious hand of our God about? Excellent. God's kindness. I'll leave that there. The book of Ezra starts with a king who's got quite a strange name for us today. He's called King Cyrus. Okay? He's called King Cyrus, and he's a very powerful man. It has not been good news for God's people. God's city, a place called Jerusalem, was a pile of bricks. If you're watching at home, there's a pile of bricks over here, okay? Instead of beautiful buildings, Jerusalem was a pile of bricks. And God's temple, the place where God was said to live among his people on earth, instead of being a beautiful big building, was a pile of bricks. It was awful. See, the temple was the place where you went to worship God. It was the place where you went to get forgiveness of your sins. It was the place where God would listen as you pray. But instead of being a place, a beautiful place, it was just a pile of bricks. What's more, God's people went there because they had stopped trusting God, because they'd stopped looking to the gracious hand of God and believing that he would be kind. They'd been taken away from their city and the temple, and they lived in a place called Babylon. And the king there was this guy called Cyrus. Cyrus. Just before I go on, I want to be really clear about this. When we choose not to live God's way, like God's people who were living in Babylon, life is miserable. Can I be clear about that? When we think that we can just throw off God or forget about God or think he doesn't matter, life will be miserable. But the book of Ezra is all about God's kindness. It's all about the gracious hand of our God. It's all about that even though the people might have forgotten about God, and even though they may have turned on him, he's not given up on them. And his kindness is seen in lots and lots and lots of ways. I'll leave it here for the moment, because I know it stands up there. Cyrus wakes up one day and says, those people who used to live in Jerusalem and worship their God at the temple, today I'm going to let them go back. It was as if the gracious hand of God was kind of prodding Cyrus. And so he says, and even better, I'm going to give those people a bunch of gold and silver articles and chests full of money, and I'm going to send them back, and they're going to rebuild the temple, and they're going to worship their God. And so he summons a man called Z. Okay, he's got a funny name. He's called Zerubbabel. You've got to say that fast. All right, Zerubbabel, Mr. Z, and says to Z, you go back to Jerusalem, it's 900 miles away, I'm going to give you stuff so that you can rebuild the temple and worship God, and it's great. So Zerubbabel, Mr. Z, does what the king says, takes a whole bunch of people back to Jerusalem from Babylon, and they rebuild the temple. Do you know what they discover? When they get back to Jerusalem and they start to rebuild, not everyone is happy about them being there. And like every building project in history, they start building for a bit, and then it stops. And then it starts again, and it stops. And this goes on for a period of years until finally, in the gracious hand of our God, the temple is rebuilt. You know, that takes us up to chapter 6 in the book of Ezra. And you know who's not even been mentioned yet? Ezra. As I read the book this week, I thought this book was all about Ezra. Ah. The book is all about the gracious hand of our God. God's kindness at work in the lives of his people. You see, after they've rebuilt the temple, there's a gap at the end of chapter 6 of 50 or 60 years. And there's a new king in Babylon. He's got an even funnier name. He's called King Artaxerxes. Yeah, that's a strange name, King Artaxerxes. And one of his favorite servants is a man called Ezra. Yeah, and so Ezra appears on the scene. And while the first part of the book is all about God's people rebuilding God's temple, Ezra is summoned by the king. And the king says to Ezra, Ezra, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. Ezra was still in Babylon. And I want you to take a bunch of people with you. And here's what I want you to do, Ezra. I want you to make sure that God's people are worshiping God in God's way. And I want you to make sure that God's people are living for God in God's way. I'm going to give you some money to help you. And I want you to make sure that that's all happening. Because Ezra knew his Bible really, really well, we're told. So Ezra gathered everyone else who wanted to go back to Jerusalem. And he got all the money that the king had promised. Do you know what we're told as we read? That they were scared. So they looked to God. And as they traveled across the desert, that really long journey, and they looked to God, do you know what they found? That the gracious hand of God was on them again, again, and again. And when they got back to Jerusalem, Ezra found that actually God's people were not living for God in the way that God had said. And he got his Bible and he started to teach them. And some of the people were so upset that they weren't following God, God's way. They started to cry. Even that was the gracious hand of God. Because if we're not living God's way, he loves to kind of get in our face with that and say, we've got to change. We've got to ask for God's forgiveness. We've got to come back to God. That is the gracious hand of our God. Now, that was a quick version of the story of Ezra. But you may be sitting thinking, stay. Excellent. What could that possibly mean for us today? That was 2,500 years ago, that King Artaxerxes and Ezra and Zerubbabel and King Cyrus and all that. What? Well, look again at the verse that's on the screen. The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him. How could any of us ever have the gracious hand of God over our lives? How could we say, well, the gracious hand of God, hey, that's at work in my life. How do I look to it? The book of Ezra is a ruins to repair story. God sees the ruins of his temple in Jerusalem and they start to rebuild it. It gets repaired. But God also sees the ruins of people's life in Jerusalem. He sees that people aren't living his way. So under his gracious hand, he sends Ezra to start teaching people his way, that their lives might be repaired, that their broken lives might be rebuilt. And all through this story of Ezra, you see ruins to repair story as the gracious hand of God is at work. God loves to rebuild and repair our lives. You see, we might not know this, but because of the sin in our lives, actually our lives in lots of ways are broken. Just as God's temple was broken, just as the people who lived in Ezra's day, their lives were broken, our lives too are broken for our disobedience towards God. We need the gracious hand of our God in our lives. And the good news for us today is that the Lord Jesus Christ came into our world to rebuild broken lives, to rebuild the relationship with our God that all of us have ruined and broken. As we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we humble ourselves and look to his gracious hand, as we trust that he died on the cross in our place, God's gracious hand forgives us. And our lives start to be put back together again. God in his kindness is giving people like us a fresh start, a new start. That is my and anyone's greatest need. And it comes as I trust that Jesus died on the cross and rose again to offer me this fresh start, to rebuild my broken life. Look at how the verse goes on. His great anger is against all who forsake him. See, if we don't want to look to him, if we don't want to trust the Lord Jesus, we don't want to live under his rule, if we think that we know better and know best, life will never make sense now. Life will be hard and it will be miserable. And when we meet him, his great anger will be upon us. But for those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that anger was put on Jesus so that it would never fall on us. We need to look to the gracious hand of our God. That is our greatest need. But can I tell you, the gracious hand of our God is seen in this story in lots of other ways as well. As we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to rebuild our life. So Ezra gathered everyone who wanted to go back to Jerusalem. Oh, sorry. Where are we going? Ezra knew that it was going to take people and time and resources. If you've got a Bible, turn back to chapter 7 and verse 28, okay? Just back across the page. Ezra was a bit scared, but look at the very last sentence of verse 28. Because the hand of the Lord my God was on me, I took courage and gathered leaders from Israel to go up with me. He trusted that God would provide everything that he needed. Where's my wee thing? This here is a little, it's a coal miner, okay? This used to sit on my grandmother's fireplace because it reminded her of my granddad, who was a coal miner for nearly 50 odd years. It's what, you know, the kind of thing if you went to a gift shop you could buy. It probably only cost, you know, I think the price says like 10 shillings on it. That shows you how old it is, okay? Now, it reminded her of my granddad. And I remember my granddad. His hands were like leather from years of working underground. When you took his hand, do you know what it was like? It was like holding a rhinoceros. That's how tough his hands were. When I crossed the road and I took his hand, I still remember the feel, the roughness of his hand. I suspect when Nathan grows up, he'll remember how soft and puny my hands were. Why, when we're small, do we reach for the hands of loved ones? For reassurance? For safety, for care. They will guide and direct and restrain. They'll make sure that we don't hurt ourselves. Do you know, as we have a relationship with God, what we're doing? We're actually putting our hands in his hand. We're saying, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know what you're going to do, but I trust that you know best. And I'm looking to your gracious hand. As Ezra was scared about going across the desert, traveling back to Jerusalem, he looked to the gracious hand of God and took courage. As Ezra knew that they were going to need some money and some treasures, hey, the gracious hand of God provided it. When they needed protection, who did he look to? The gracious hand of God. We need the gracious hand of God as well. Following Jesus can be hard and scary. We may not know where all the answers are coming from, all the protection. What are we going to do? We need the gracious hand of God. We need to keep looking to him for all that we need. I'm nearly done. Just one more thing as we close. Adults, young people, this past year has been pretty tough in the life of this local church. As a church, we have rebuilding to do. There are lots of things that we could do. I suspect many of us are feeling weak and tired. Where are we going to get the strength that we need to do all that's ahead? Where are we going to get the protection that we need for all that's ahead? That's there. Where are we even going to get the money that we need to do all the things that we need to do that's ahead? Where are we going to have to look? The gracious hand of our God, who will give all that we need for all that we face, who will give us the strength that we need, the protection that we need, the resources that we need, the people that we need to rebuild as a local church. Now, I have to say, I don't think we're in ruins, okay? I don't think that. But I think the book of Ezra is going to help us because it's all about rebuilding. It's all about the gracious hand of our God. And so I think this is going to be a really important book for us over these next few months. What are we going to need to do? What does it mean to look to the gracious hand of our God? We're going to need to pray. Okay? As a local church, we're going to need to pray. We're going to factor in some extra time for that as a local church. As the restrictions ease, we may even have some fasting and pray. Periods where we give things up, food, TV, whatever, that we might humble ourselves and look to the gracious hand of our God. Let me encourage you to pray for this local church if you don't do that. Look to the gracious hand of God, that he would help us to rebuild this local church. One other really simple way that you can do that, on a Tuesday night on Zoom at the moment, we pray every week for one another, for this area, because there are still so many people who don't yet know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. There are still so many things that we need to do as a local church in this area. How do we do them? We look to the gracious hand of our God. Because as we look to him, he's with us. He'll help us. He'll give what we need. But his great anger is against all who forsake him. When Ezra was faced with a choice of trusting God or someone or something else, he looked to the gracious hand of his God. Shall we say those words one more time before we close? The words that are on the screen. 1, 2, 3. The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this truth from the book of Ezra. We thank you that you are with those that look to you, who trust you, who've put their hand to your hand and said, can you use us, Lord? Can you guide us, Lord? Can you help us, Lord? We ask that over these months, you would give us the wisdom we need for all that's ahead. You would give us the time and the people and the resources we long to reach this area for the Lord Jesus. Please help us as we do that. In Jesus' name. Amen.